Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. I'm Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm talking to you tonight from the Bright Red Desk. And what we do here on Access Astrology is Heather Roan Robbins, Mark Woltz, and I meet out here once a week on the Internet to take your calls and to work with the energy and talk about it and how it affects you down here on Earth and below us. What's going on up there, what it feels like down here, and how you can work with it productively to make your best life. And we take calls from our listeners, and we also, if you live in a faraway place and you can't listen to the show or call in live, we also take emails from our listeners and answer their questions. So, while I'm waiting for Mark and Heather to join me, and I believe they're both coming tonight, but Blog Talk Radio was having a little technical difficulty when I first called in, so hopefully they get in. What we do is we'll talk about the energy. And, of course, the reason Blog Talk Radio is having a little trouble, and the most of us are having a little trouble right now, is Mercury is stopped in the sky. And he is stopped. He goes retrograde. He goes direct tomorrow morning at 9:59 in the morning. And then he moves out of his shadow through the next few weeks, and he clears his shadow on the 15th of April, when he goes past 16th of April, when he goes past 29 Pisces. Now, it's been a really interesting Mercury retrograde, and a lot of people have really reported it as being kind of difficult and very emotional and kind of hard. And it's got a lot of energy in it about, you know, how do I move forward and what do I do? And I think I just saw Mark arrive. Mark, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
So, yeah. So you're over there on the far side of the Isle of Manhattan. Pardon? On the upper west side, yeah.
You're on the east side.
Mm-hmm. So I was just starting to tell everybody about Mercury retrograde. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so go away. Yeah, because it's stationing right now. It's stopped in the sky. And then tomorrow it goes direct.
Yeah.
So what do you think about when you think about Mercury retrograde?
I think it's good to use the energy for reviewing things and being able to look backward and forward at the same time.
Right. Because he invites that introspection.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really does.
But I think it's important to keep in mind that we're moving forward, even though we're looking back.
Right. Yeah, we forget that sometimes because Mercury is going backward, Earth is going forward, which is why the optical illusion appears to be that it's going backwards, even though it's going forward too. So it's got this kind of weird quality, you know.
Yeah, so it's an invitation to look backward and see how we got to where we are and then there. Mm-hmm. But realizing that it all builds on where we came from.
Right.
But it doesn't stop with where we are. It goes somewhere beyond.
So where we're heading.
On a trajectory.
Yeah.
Actually reminds me, I saw a really nice animated graphic of the solar system that pointed out that basically we're moving in a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
We are often taught to think that it's a circle. We circle around the sun. But because the sun and the whole solar system are traveling through space on a trajectory that we don't know what that trajectory is. But here we are moving. And so each time you go around the circle, you're not in the same place as you were a year ago.
Right.
You've actually
advanced.
The
solar system has moved a degree a year backwards. Yeah. And it's moving backwards, and we're moving forwards, and so there's this kind of, or we feel like we're moving forwards, but we're actually traveling with the sun. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
And the Earth spins 1,000 miles an hour, and you wouldn't know it goes that fast.
we're just sitting still. We're moving 1,000 miles an hour.
1,000 miles an hour.
We've decided that that's normal.
Yeah, we think that's normal. So, although I think it got a little faster. You got a little faster with this Mercury retrograde. But this one is particularly juicy for a couple of reasons, because it's the last degree of the last sign of the zodiac. So it's asking us to go back and look at things on a different level. So I was talking to a client the other day, and we were talking about when her child died, and she was really processing deep emotion around it. So we went back and looked at the death day of the child, and it was where it was at 17 Virgo Pisces, which is where Mercury is now. So for a lot of people, you know, this is a very deep emotional feeling, and of course 17-18 is where 9/11 was, when World Trade Center happened. It's also the Neptune in the ninth house of the justice system of the U.S. chart, and we just had the Mueller investigation released on a Mercury retrograde, unavoid a course moon. So it's kind of like, all right, well, aspecting Neptune in the Justice Department saying, so, like, what actually happened? So it's been a really big one. And a lot of people, myself included, got some bad news. You and I lost Gretchen. I mean, we didn't lose her, but she went across the river to New Jersey. Mark and I and Gretchen Lord, who's our was our sponsor for many years here in New York at the Church of the Transfiguration, which we access through the Open Center. She's letting go of her apartment after getting married a couple of years ago and moving to live full-time. I mean, she lives full-time with her husband, but, you know, letting go of the New York place, which, you know, one of the things you never do in New York is let go of a rent-stabilized apartment. But but so she's leaving, you know. So there's a lot of loss, a lot of emotion, a lot of feeling about stuff. And just realizing, you know, with Mercury on Neptune, really emotionally very, very volatile, very feeling-based, very sensitive. And Mercury and Jupiter are going to be together really until like the 6th or the 8th of April. So even though Mercury's going direct, you may very much feel like you're in the swamp or the muck. And I found that the air and fire people are having the most trouble with it, you know, because they're like, I am just awash in feelings and emotions, and like, yep, that's right. And then the earth and the water people are also awash, and so we have all these floods and all this water stuff. And somebody said at the meeting last night, Mark, that there was a nuclear power plant in Nebraska that almost went south because of all the flooding. And the
I heard of that.
Meeting, went back, almost blew up. So I'm like, Nebraska? But because of all the water, which is, of course, Mercury and Neptune and Pisces is a water sign. So also where you're feeling watery or where you're feeling emotionally fluid, there's a lot of energy in that part of the chart that wants to move, you know, along. So, So what do you think, you know, when you're talking to people about how to handle this energy, what do you say to them?
Work really with the energy of air, so use conscious thought, and that becomes an anchor so that you don't get lost in the watery stuff.
But it's hard to do consciousness. How do they get there? It's kind of like they're drowning almost. How do they stick their head above water?
The main thing is to have a direction.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're really lost out at sea, you know, you got to find something to go toward.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you'll just keep going in circles. And going in circles when there's that much water around is really, it doesn't really accomplish anything after the first go around. So, you know, and the way to fix that is to have a direction and go in that direction. It's kind of like wind. Wind usually has a direction, even if it's a cyclone.
Mm-hmm.
The cyclone moves in a direction. The air may be spinning in a circle, but that circle is moving along.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to decide on a direction. And then, you know, you'll touch the water and the water will touch you. And so you'll have that experience, but you'll bring it towards something, and it's the energy of air that will help to do that the most.
Right. It'll help you see where
so much flooding. I wouldn't use Earth as an anchor right now because it's too easy for it to turn into mud.
Right, because it's very muddy and gunky, and you can get very slogged along in it.
Yeah. Yeah, if there were a lot of things going on in the Earth signs, then mm-hmm. you could use Earth as an anchor, but I think you're better off with the air right now.
Right.
And that means.
And also, I find it with the energy, it does feel very changing and shifting. That there's not, you know, to the point of you never know, like when there's a breeze blowing, you don't know if it's going to be a strong breeze or a soft breeze or what it's going to be like. So when they say windy, you're like, windy. What's windy mean?
Right. But it means also looking in your own natal chart and seeing where your energy of air is. I mean, we've got some air somewhere, and we're meant to use it. So this is a good time to do it.
Right. And to see what's going on. Yeah.
Now, of course, I say that, and my Mercury in my natal chart is in Pisces. So.
Right. So you actually like it.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, you always say when the retrogrades happen that they get you like on the when they go direct, like you know the beginning part, you're kind of like, what's going on? You know, how do I do this?
Yeah.
But as they
true,
do that last pass, because your Mercury's in the last sign.
Yeah.
And so when you think about like you know, because you've grown up with it, so all of us, I mean, I have Mercury in an air sign, and all I've been doing the last few days is crying my eyes out. Just like sob. And, you know, and I have a lot of water in my chart, so I'm kind of used to that. But, you know, we're all honorary Mercury in Pisces right now, you know, because it's in the heavens. And I know periodically when something's in the heavens and, you say to someone and they're like, well, I live with this all the time. You know, how do you live with Mercury in Pisces all the time? I mean, I know you swim a lot and you do yoga, which are both Mercury, Piscean kind of things. But what else do you find helps that Mercury, or how else does that Mercury feel content and comfortable?
Anything to do with images. So
images, okay.
Thinking in expressing thought through images, mm-hmm. which means poetry or movies or mm-hmm. music also.
Music,
you know,
too.
Can be sound.
Mm-hmm.
But not the logical, rational sort of law book kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Just more of the process of the connecting.
Right, more expressionistic, you know, mm-hmm. Changeable
mm-hmm.
things that have layers of interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true. Very true. Yeah, so it's an interesting week. So that direct energy happens. And then yesterday, Venus went into Pisces, which makes everybody extra sentimental. And she's in Pisces until she goes into Aries on the 20th of Aries. 20th of April, rather. 20th
April.
Of Aries.
Yeah.
April and Aries, I kind of put them together in my head. But yeah, when she goes into Aries then, she's then going to shift. But right now, she just got all sentimental too. Because she went into Pisces. So she's going to swim along and catch up with Mercury and Neptune in Pisces. So we're going to have a lot of, like, emotional love fluidity, you know. And I know today I've just, with Venus in Pisces, I've just been feeling like saying I love you to all these people that are, you know, important in my life, you know, that help or love or care or whatever. And last night we had a really nice party for Gretchen, and we did make her cry, Mark, which is good. And have a key. You know, she passed the key to me, and you have a note and a key from her. So we're both going to have keys to the door. And everybody had a good time. We had a really big turnout. A lot of people came because I'd announced on my podcast on Sunday that it was her, and I'd posted it on Instagram. So we had a lot of people we hadn't seen in a while come back and say, you know, bye, Gretchen. And then we had a party, and we had some really good food. So.
Oh.
It was nice, yeah. So we closed the place about 10:30. So we didn't go to California Pizza Kitchen last night. We California Pizza Kitchened at the Access Astrology place. So
cool.
Complete with washing the dishes and sweeping the floor. So shout out to Carol and Joni who were dishes and sweepers. But it was lovely, you know. It was a very nice part. And Ken came, Gretchen's husband came. So
good.
And you have your key. She gave me my key. You have your key, which I'll bring and give you on Tuesday. So, a new era begins. All right, and then so Venus going into Pisces, and then this weekend Mars goes into Gemini. So what do you think about Mars and Gemini? What do we need to tell our Venus
well,
and
Mars
Pisces
and
is sentimental. Yep.
Pardon? Mars and Gemini is kind of a mess.
Especially because Mercury's in Pisces still, right?
Yeah, with Mercury in Pisces, when Mars goes into Gemini, you get a lot of, well, it's kind of a prankster energy. You can just sort of let happen whatever happens and hope there are no consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Mars doesn't express that well in an air sign, in a mutable air sign like Gemini. It's,
right.
You know, it's not the worst place for it, but it makes it sort of the prankster, the trickster, and it sort of does two things at once. Everything with Gemini is two things at once, so Mars is sort of two-faced. So it's hard to get a straight answer out of Mars and Mercury in Gemini.
Yeah, especially when
it's a little bit like having a Mars and Mercury conjunct.
Right.
Trying to be a team. Yeah. And so it work, but it's not the most natural thing for the energy of Mars.
Well, they do have a lot of struggle too, because and also now because Mercury's in his detriment in Pisces, you know.
Right.
He's kind of like, he's going to take Mars into the water with him.
Yeah.
So Mars is going to be a little bit of a fish and also be kind of like, all right, I got to go swimming with you. I got to swim with you. And it's like, uh-huh. So
yeah.
That Mars in Gemini has a whole other story to him.
Yeah. So,
also because, of, you know, I think when you see him in somebody's chart, what do you do if the Mercury's, you know, or what do you do when you see that the Mercury's in such state that our Mercury's in with the conjunction to Neptune?
Yeah, I think in this case you just have to look for the humor. it's sort of like a, you know, we often talk about a fish will flip and flop.
Mm-hmm.
And Mercury will do that in Pisces, and when it's ruling the Mars in Gemini, then our will, the Mars expressing through the will, gets a little flippy floppy too, like the two-faced Gemini. So it's one thing in dead earnest for about 30 seconds, and then it flips to the other side and says, no, I really meant this. And
right.
It's got
right.
30 seconds like that. And then it flips into something else again. So if you have that condition in your natal chart, then that's the energy that you need to learn to work with. And that's why I say having a sense of humor about it. You know, it's like when you catch a fish and you play it, you have it on the string, the fish line, and it'll run, it'll get drawn in, it'll run again, it'll jump, it'll, you know, do all these things. And you might as well enjoy it. You know, don't get overly serious about I got to catch this fish. It's more the game that you're playing with the fish.
Right. Well, I hear you with how is it going to be? How's it going to be handled? What's going to be done?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Mhm. So true.
And that,
so
and
true.
That'll be if that's the situation, that'll be the way that you do get things done. Where a lot
you
of
do what?
Play,
say it again.
It's the way that you do get things done, which is through play and fooling around, you know, like totally not like Capricorn gets things done.
Yeah.
Capricorn is all organized and right on a straight line. But
right.
Gemini, it's that flippy-floppy, you know,
a little
play.
Of this and a little of that and a little of this again.
And then you sort of see where it leads you to and you let yourself be surprised and say, oh, now that we're here, let's make the most of it. But you never know where that fish is going to lead you.
Right, right. Well, and also when you think of the fish switching, you know, like when you've ever, if you've ever snorkeled Or even if you haven't snorkeled, you have a fish tank. You know, if you have like the guppies and there's like a little pack of them, they're going one way,
yeah.
and then they zoom and they go the other. And you're kind of like, who gave the instructions to change direction?
Yeah.
And suddenly they're going in another, and then they're going back in, and then they're, and you're like, wow, you guys are really moving, you know? So it's kind of fun. So we have a caller,
yeah.
so let's, and they have their hand raised. So we will take the call, I think, if you're ready. Is there anything else you want to say about the heavens and what's going on?
No, I think that pretty well covers it for now.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so remember, we invite you, if you listen to this off hours, you know, feel free, if you can't stay up, to write us a note, and we will read your question on air. But in the meantime, let's take a call from caller number 510-982. You're on the air. How can we help?
Hi. Thank you so much for grabbing my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I just adore you guys. I'm one of your biggest fans. So I had an appointment with Heather in January, and it was a really tough time. So my chart's 5581.
5-5-1-9-8-1. And what time?
2:52 a.m.
2:52 a.m. Where?
Elkhorn, Wisconsin. It's one word.
Elkhorn, Wisconsin. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So you've had a reading, so you've had your chart done. And so what's your question? Heather's not here tonight.
Heather,
I think she's still traveling. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I know, but she had helped me with these last few months because she had said that with my transits or my chart that it's just going to be a tough period of time. Just get to April. Just know that it'll be okay. And I did that, and I couldn't figure out how to fit anything else into my schedule that I needed in it, but I could at least work, and that's the big thing I need to do to accomplish my dream to get to Ecuador to finish my yoga teacher training and get on with my life. But I just had this giant car crash. It wiped out my car. I don't have one of the astrologers I love. Like, I love you guys, and I listen to just, only two or three. And he's saying that there's a ton of solutions out there. It looks like everything is going to be taken away. It's really not. And I just have these big goals, and I'm kind of wondering if you see anything or what your thoughts are. And then I'm also, the other question I have might help other people too about Jupiter. You were saying that Jupiter is supposed to be going retrograde in 10 days. And so everything you want to be doing, you got to get it done in 10 days. Otherwise, it's not going to happen because of the retrograde. Could you maybe expound on what you think about that?
Well, actually for you, that's when your chart really works because you're born with a Jupiter retrograde. Okay. So half of the people in the world have Jupiter direct, and half of them have it retrograde. So at any point in time, one half's moving forward and the other half's moving backwards, or not working the way they think it should work. So you're born with a Jupiter retrograde, which means that Jupiter's across from your sun. So retrograde planets happen, like in your case, you're a Taurus. Retrograde happens between Virgo and Capricorn. So your Jupiter's retrograde, your Saturn's retrograde, your Pluto's retrograde, your Juno's retrograde, you got a lot of retrograde, your Uranus is retrograde, your Neptune, you have a lot of retrograde planets. So your chart, while it's got, while you got all this good up and go, those retrograde planets can, they go when they're going backwards. So in a couple of weeks, Jupiter and Saturn and Pluto are all going to station to go retrograde, which is the direction your planets are going. Heather hopefully said to you the end of April rather than the beginning. Because the end of April is when everybody goes retrograde. Jupiter goes retrograde in a couple weeks, and then Saturn and Pluto do. So I kind of liken it to making a movie. So you get all the actors together and you make the movie, and then they all get dismissed. And then you go to the editing room, and that's the retrograde. You go through and you review all the film, and you edit it, and you put it together, and you go whatever. And then it goes direct, and then everybody gets together to promote the movie and to release it. So if you're an editor, you're going to go do the retrograde time. If you're the actor, you're going to do the direct time. And, the analogy is always going to be based on your chart. But that usually means that you're going to experience half the year going lickety-cut, and then the other half of the year kind of reviewing what you've done. So that's part one. Part two, Jupiter is stationing on the planet of your dreams. Your Neptune is at 24 Sag, and Jupiter's stationing at 24 Sag. So he's saying to you, your dreams are in the process of coming true. We're starting a new 12-year cycle around them. what is your dream? And of course, Sagittarius is, and your midheavens in Sag, they're the natural teachers in the world. That's what they do for a living. They're the teachers and the preachers. So don't worry about it. The forward motion will happen. I think the car wreck, you're having Pluto on your midheaven by transit, and Saturn too. Your midheaven's 20 and Pluto progressed midheaven. Pluto's 22, and it's squaring your natal Pluto in the 8th house. And so that's the house of money from other people and also insurance money and also unexpected costs. And natally down in the 3rd house is your Venus, who's also at 22, and your Mercury, who's at 23. So we're going to look at this car wreck as kind of the universe saying, we're adjusting things for you. With the trine, you are obviously okay. It sounds like you're good. The car is
Yeah, I mean, I got to do some rehab, but I technically walked away. I totally am very lucky, yeah.
Yeah, and so the
car
Pluto's
is gone.
The car is gone, yeah. The car should be gone with Pluto square Pluto. So I'm kind of like, the car's gone, you're here. But also it causes you to kind of think about, like, okay, what's my vision and where am I going? And it's part of the hard part that Heather
money
said.
Off my,
huh?
my car. Well,
Pardon?
See, the
Say
thing is, I also make money off my car.
Uh-huh, yep.
I
Your
drive
Venus
for
and
a living.
Joined. Yep, mm-hmm. Your Venus and Mercury are joined, yeah. So you do make money off your car. So what are you going to do to make money in the interim? Plus you have a few other planets in the 3rd house, your moon and stuff like that.
I mean, I've figured something out. It's just half what I normally make, and then I'm trying to maybe rent a car from a friend and get it back up and going, and it's going to be like this beater crappy thing, but until the insurance figures it out. And the insurance, it could be a range of like $2,000 to $5,000. Well, that's a big difference. And I bought that car for $5,000. I knew I was going to run it into the ground. And so, like you said, that it could possibly end up in my favor.
I think you want to kind of watch for it and talk to the insurance adjuster, and also kind of talk about, you know, where you are, because it's part of it is, you know, what they're going to do about it. But yeah, it's a trine to your Venus Mercury, and it's a square to the Pluto in the 8th house. So when we look at that, I think of that as generally turning out well, or turns out okay. Mercury is the co-ruler of your 3rd, and Venus is the ruler of your 3rd. So we kind of go, okay, so whether it's through a friend or it's through, you know, the insurance company giving you something, I think it works okay. And Mars is going into Gemini in a couple days on Sunday. So usually that'll give, and that's on your moon, giving you a new home to drive around in. Your moon's in Gemini. And that starts a new 2-year cycle. So I think it'll probably be a nice car that you're going to like. But a little weird because of the Mercury-Neptune. Yeah. Mark, what do you think?
Like weird, like how it works out, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like how it happens. Okay.
Yeah,
like watch for a little magic, or watch for a little bit of, you know, this is kind of not what I would have thought, but hey, okay. The car left.
Yeah,
but, you know,
when the magic happens, when the magic happens, just go with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think I will recognize it?
Yep.
No, you will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just don't let it knock you off balance. Say, oh, okay.
Okay.
I didn't expect this, but I'll take it.
Could I ask you a question that might help other people about, like, how astrologers are different? Because it's like, I love this guy, the Leo King, and then I love you guys so much. Like, I you know, there's a lot of astrologers out there, but I just resonate with kind of you four, and for whatever reason, but very different. Like, he goes deep into the historical stuff. He's talking about portals and things like that, and I don't really hear you guys talk about that, but I get so much help in my day-to-day life with what you guys talk about. So I was wondering, could you maybe speak to that and at all, if you feel like you want to?
Speak to portals and stuff like that? Yeah. I mean, I know I definitely do when I talk to people.
Yeah,
what kind of time we're in terms of transitions and stuff. I mean, we're sitting on the edge of history because Pluto's about to go in the node of fate, its own node. It has a planetary node, and that happens once every 250 years. So we're sitting at the edge of history, kind of looking forward and trying to figure out stuff and where we're going. I know from my perspective, when it's a political stand, and it also is a, you know, how we, you know, what do we do? But then in the same time, people are really right now kind of feeling like, wow, how do we do with this on a daily basis? Because we're going to get there. It's just a matter of, you know, like, we don't have control over the portal. We're in it. How do you get through the portal? Does that make sense? So, Mark,
yeah,
what do you think about the portal?
Yeah.
Well, it, you know, all of these things are, it's a matter of perspective. And each different way of looking at things gives you another piece of the picture.
Yeah.
So, it's good to listen to whatever resonates for you. And, you know, you'll see another aspect of it. And
I'm trying to figure out how to work
with it. Yeah.
Right.
And nobody can explain it all through one system.
Right.
So you like us because we give you the practical Taurus stuff. Lion King's a Leo, and he's on your North Node, and he trines your Neptune. So he gives you, like, inspirational vision. We kind of give you, okay, this is what you're going to do. And, you know, it's not that we can't. I mean, I do the inspirational stuff, you know, in other places. But it's also, it's, you know, there's all different kinds of astrology, too. There's personal, there's mundane, there's electional. And so one of the things that we try and do on this, because it's a call-in for people to call in with their charts, we don't really do the portal stuff. But it's out there, and I would encourage you to read up on, you know, watch Rick Levine. I don't know if you've run into his stuff yet. He has a lot of on kind of the physics of how everything's changing. And then over in England, you know, Nick Campion and Bernadette Brady, who are more mundane astrologers, like Google mundane astrologers. Now, remember, sometimes they bring in their biases. Philip Sedgwick used to do a lot of stuff on the portals and the changing stuff. And we are. We're really at this major shift in the culture in the world. You know, you can see it. It feels like the center's falling out. And, you know, it's a giant mudslide. So I'm more worried about people getting through the mudslide to the other side and knowing it's going to be okay rather than worrying about it, because one by one we get through it. So I kind of take that story where the starfish are all on the beach and it's sunny and the tide's out, and a guy's picking them up and throwing them in the ocean, and somebody says to him, you know, what are you doing? He says, I'm saving starfish. And he goes, well, look at all the starfish on the beach. What are you going to do about them? He goes, well, I can't do anything about them, but I can make a difference for this one. And he picks up the next one and he throws it in the water. And I think as people, if we understand astrology and we understand what's going on, we can all help the person next to us in the lifeboat or in the journey and say, you know, this is what I'm trying to accomplish with you. And so there's a whole, you know, there's a whole journey that you're going through that's enormous. This is really one of the most important times of your life. And so the car, as a metaphor for slow down, you're moving too fast, pay attention to the time. If we say, what would a crash be for? Because you're healthy, you're out, walked away from it, but it said to you, you know, just a little slower. We're good, we're good. We're going to get you there, don't worry. But, of course, you're feeling this, I have to go now, I have to go now, I have to go now, because Saturn is squaring all your Libra planets, and he's pushing them along. So you're going to get there, and be conscious of that. That's part of the path, but it also sometimes there's a little detour. And so I would say the crash was a detour. But, you know, we can definitely add more metaphysical stuff if you think the audience would like it and it would be helpful.
I mean, if people like it, you know, I mean, or you feel called to it, I love the way you guys do things. Sometimes I don't know enough about the astrology side of it, so sometimes the jargon, I got to learn more. But I'm very excited about astrology more and more as I go along, and I think you guys have really inspired that so much, and you've really talked a lot about different stuff tonight. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad you like it. Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool.
All
so
right.
We're out of time. And good luck. Keep us posted on the car. But I think it's going to be good.
Thank
I think
you.
It's going to turn out really good. Yeah. End of April, though.
You really helped me.
Good.
Okay.
You really helped me put me at rest. Thank you.
All right. All right.
Thank
so
you.
Take care. All right. And this is Ann Orley signing off from the bright red desk. And Mark?
Mark Waltz over by the Hudson River signing off.
Right. And we'll
and
see
we'll
you all next
week
on Access Astrology.
Okay.
Bye. Bye. Bye, Mark. See you next Tuesday. Bye.
Good.